Amen? That's good. Well, welcome to church this morning. Church on TV, church on your iPhone, church wherever you are, whether you're watching it live stream or your schedule just didn't permit you to watch it until later. Welcome. This morning we get to honor God. We honor Him with our worship, honor Him with our thoughts, honor Him with our thinking, honor Him with how our relationships, honor Him with our finances, honor with our plans. And so we're continuing our study in Deuteronomy, and we call the whole series just Promised Land Living. It's kind of like, here's a description as Moses gets ready to send the Israelites across the Jordan into the Promised Land. He says, here's what Promised Land Living should look like. We started Deuteronomy 28 last week. Let's take a look at it. We're going to jump in Deuteronomy 28 and just kind of a rehearsing review. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all His commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. And we talked about the blessings last time we were together. And then skipping ahead to verse 15. However, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow His commands and decrees I am giving you today, all these curses will come on you and overtake you. God's blessings, how we choose to walk through a healthy relationship with God, when it's healthy, impacts every aspect of our life. It impacts our relationship, impacts our planning, impacts our success, impacts our navigation of difficult situations. It blesses everything. But on the contrary, right, curses also impact everything. Everything we do impacts our productivity, our fruitfulness, everything that we do. I think about those good things that come from God, and it reminds me of James 1:17, right? Every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. The impact of running towards God is all goodness. The impact of rebelling against God is all bad stuff, you know, just like the little kid said, ooh, yucky. It's the ramifications of a healthy relationship with God are beyond what we can think or imagine. But I believe that the ramifications are the result of a rebellious relationship with God are also beyond what we can think or imagine. Last time we talked about blessings that surround a person, a family, a nation that chooses to follow after God. This time, we're going to be talking about curses. Wait, don't hang up on me. Don't end your video's live stream. Don't move on to something else. Why? Why do I say that? Trust me, I'm like, oh, you're kidding me. We're going to talk about curses this week? Lord, really? Well, here's why I talk about it. Here's why I press through stuff, is because all Scripture, right? All Scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Even though some of God's Word is uncomfortable, even though some of God's Word isn't fun to read, it's all useful. It's all beneficial. It's all perfect to prepare us, to grow us for what? For every good work. And so I don't know about you, but I want to increase in who I am. I don't want to be satisfied with the status quo and say, yeah, I'm good enough. You know, I've worked hard. I'm not as bad as I used to be. I'm good enough. Well, I recognize that my good enough today, I look back on it later, I'm going, wow, that was terrible. And I want to always grow. I want to grow my relationship with my kids, with my wife, but especially grow my relationship with God. And so, and to be ready to do those good things that God prepared for me to walk in. In Deuteronomy 28, as we talked about, verse 1 to 14, talk about blessings. The next verses from verse 15 all the way to 68, it's a big chapter. Talk about curses. Is that crazy? That's like almost 80% of Deuteronomy 28 talk about curses. Whoop, whoop. What in the world? Why would Moses spend 80% of his message, of his sermon that he's given the Israelites in this chapter, talk about curses? Have you ever heard of positive reinforcement? I'm sure you have. It's like as you navigate trying to parent your little teachable two-year-old, right? Or your four-year-old, or your five-year-old, or your 15-year-old. Hopefully you started earlier than that. But it's a challenge. Positive reinforcement really is about adding something in order to strengthen a positive outcome. So you're adding something, just like your kid. You say, when you finish your homework, you can go out and play. So you're saying, okay, there's something I got to do here, but positive reinforcement, I'm going to do my homework so that I can go out and get this reward of going out and playing and working on something or you know, whatever that we need. On the other hand, negative reinforcement is detracting something from that picture. In other words, there's something going on, there's a privilege that's going on, and you're going to take it away for not doing those things that are good for you to do. You don't get to use the car if you're not home by your curfew time. They have use of the car, but if you don't, I'm going to take away something good that you're enjoying. As we look at these curses today, I see it as a reflection of God taking away that blessing from people. As you study these curses, as you read, we're just going to kind of do a surface cover because there's so many verses. But I believe as you look at those, they really highlight God's blessings in a really wide, deep, kind of profound kind of way. Is all these blessings, as he describes what he's taking away, it's really describing the blessings that we have as his children, as followers of God, as being obedient and listening, that every single one of his things that he asks us to do are for our own good. And there's a blessing that comes from them. And when we don't walk, when we walk in rebellion, those good blessings that he gave his children for being obedient, if the children of Israel were not obedient, he's going to take away those blessings. If you do not obey the Lord your God, all these curses will come on you. Some people view sections of scripture like this as proof that God has a hard and he's all powerful, but he's indifferent to our circumstances. And I see it not as proof of God's indifference, but I see these passages as proof of God's love. I'll tell you why. I think of Hebrews 12, 5 and 6. He says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord's disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son." Parents who love their kids discipline them. It's why? Because it's hard work. It takes attention. It takes follow-up. And God is a great example. He's like the perfect father. He's the model for perfect parenting, in that he's patient, he's persevering, he's following up, he's not letting things go forever, but dealing with problems as they come up. If God wanted to take us out and say, "Okay, I'm done with you," he would have done it a long time ago. Right? I mean, you see some of that in the flood. He's like, "Man, these people are just doing their own thing." And he destroys the world except for Noah and his sons and his family. And recreates, allows the world to get a reboot. And not in the way that it was initially created. But we find that a reboot doesn't work. that there's a brokenness in mankind that starts in his soul and gets passed down to our kids into legacy. And so we see that there's a God who loves us, and he disciplines. As we look at this, these curses, think about it, is God disciplining us, God caring about us, not letting things go? How bad can ignoring and be rebellious to God be? Now let's pick it up in verse 20. The Lord will send on you curses, confusion and rebuke and everything you put your hand to, until you are destroyed and come to sudden ruin because of the evil you have done in forsaking him. We will lose the blessing of clear thinking and access, and success in everything we do. It's profound. Just like I say, God's blessings are profound. Being without his blessings is profound. As you look at verses 21 to 29, I kind of summarized and said it. You're going to lose the blessings of physical and mental health, agricultural abundance, and military dominance and success. It's all-encompassing. Right as we read verse 21, the Lord will plague you with diseases until he has destroyed you from the land you are entering to possess. The Lord will turn the rain of your country into dust and powder. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. The Lord will afflict you with the boils of Egypt, disease and fever and blindness. The Lord will afflict you with madness, mental illness. I think of blindness of mind and confusion. Even what is obvious will not be obvious any longer. Futility of every pursuit, failure on every front, oppressed, robbed without a rescuer to come and get justice. It just thinks about it, it's profound. It's devastating. Verses 30 to 34, we lose the blessing of enjoyment of love, life, possessions, and legacy. And described in verse 30, you will be pledged to be married to a woman, but another will take her and rape her. You will build a house, but you will not live in it. You will plant a vineyard, but you will not even begin to enjoy it. Your possessions and provisions will be taken from you and given to your enemies without any recourse. Your sons and daughters, verse 32, your sons and daughters will be given to another nation, and you will wear out your eyes watching for them day after day, powerless to lift a hand. A people that you do not know will eat what your land and labor produce, and you will have nothing but cruel oppression all your day. The sights you see will drive you mad. As Moses gives this strong warning of curses, something strange happens, because it goes from kind of like generalizations and to some really specific things. As Moses not only moves from warning of Israel, this is what's going to happen. If you don't obey God and you start to follow after other gods, these curses are going to come after you. You will lose all the blessings, all the good promises that God brought you into the promised land for. You will lose. He moves from a warning to a warning that is prophetic. And a prophetic means that it's kind of like it's saying, it's telling what the future holds. And so he's saying that it's not only a warning, but there's going to come a time where he said, Israel, it's going to get so bad that everyone, your kids, are going to get taken into captivity into another nation. And we know, looking back, that it was prophetic, because that's what happened. Years and years as Israel rebelled against God, till finally Babylon came down and took them with King Nebuchadnezzar, and history shows, took them captive to his nation. Verse 35 to 68 talks about being removed from the promised land. The place, it's so weird. They're right now getting ready to go into the promised land. And man, life is good, and like, woo, man, we get to enjoy God's provisions. He's going to give us success on every front. And that the future looks bright. But Moses at the same time said, listen, what's coming? If you guys don't obey the Lord, here is what is going to come. The Lord will drive you, verse 36, the Lord will drive you and the king you set over you to to a nation unknown to you and your ancestors. You will sow much seed in the field, but you will harvest little because locusts will devour it. You will have sons and daughters, but you will not keep them because they will go into captivity. The foreigners who reside among you will rise above you higher and higher, but you will sink lower and lower. They will lend to you, but you will not lend to them. They will be the head, but you will be the tail. All these curses will come on you. They will pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed because you did not obey the Lord your God and observe the commands and decrees he gave you. They will be a sign and wonder to you and your descendants forever because you did not serve the Lord your God joyfully and gladly in the time of your prosperity. Therefore, in hunger and thirst, in nakedness and dire poverty, you will serve the enemies the Lord sends against you. He will put an iron yoke on your neck until he destroys you. The Lord will bring a nation against you from far away, from the ends of the earth. As we look at just kind of like a big picture, a paintbrush, we talk about the source of both blessings and curses. The source is God. The source is the Lord who loves you and cares about you. So we look at the agents of those curses. Other nations. God used other nations. He used other people. He used circumstances. Even he used weather, whether it was rain or disasters that came upon Israel to communicate. The scope and the breadth of those curses included a ruined economy, a crop loss, included marriages that were lost, children enslaved, mental illness and damaged thinking, or even our ability, the curses. If all good things come from God, even good, logical thinking come from God. That means when his blessings are taken away, that we can't even think straight. Those things that we think should be normal and right are wrong. It's just upside down thinking. Those things that we think lead to life really lead to death. Kind of like those things, blessings. And I'm always praying. And I'm saying, God, would you give me wisdom? I need your wisdom to how I live my life. I need your wisdom for how I work through difficult situations. I need your wisdom so that I'm just not... Some of us are really impulsive, right? We get an idea and we go like that. I'm like that too. But as I grow in my relationship with God, I'm like, I need to ask first. Even things that are obvious to me, I need to ask God, did you give wisdom how to walk this out? Is this a good idea? Or should I talk to somebody else? I am always so glad when I don't rush into things. Because sometimes I miss some really obvious things that would have been damaging or hurtful or set me back. You get to ask God, what is the goal of curses? It's a warning sign to you and the descendants of Israel is what he says. And it's not just for Israel, but it's for us too. Why do I say that? The goal of curses, it says, verse 58, if you do not carefully follow all the words of this law, which are written in this book, and do not revere this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, the Lord will send fearful plagues on you and your descendants, harsh and prolonged disasters, and severe and lingering illnesses. The goal is, and Hebrews talks about it, it's saying, pay attention to what happened to Israel. Pay attention. In their prosperity, things were going really good, and they forgot about God. They said, man, we're going to pursue this other stuff. And because God loves us, he isn't going to have it. He'll let us go for a while, and we have the saying, is like, give enough rope to hang yourself. Because there's a time, because I know that I'm going the wrong way, and I have enough rope. God's hope is that at some point we're going to go, wait, I'm going the wrong way. Let me turn around before we experience the full consequence of those curses. His hope is, isn't it a lot better to learn from somebody else's mess ups than have to experience it ourselves? It's so much better. And I know some of us are so hard-headed, and I can relate, that we don't learn until we experience it ourselves and go, oh, they were right. What they told me and warned about happened. And so then hopefully we're like preaching it to other people, right? We're like, I was like you. I was hard-headed. People warned me, but it's true. It really ends in a mess. If you keep doing what you're doing, it really ends in a train wreck. You need to pay attention to what's going on. And God's heart is to give warnings, to saying, listen, don't do what these hard-hearted people did, my children. I want you to experience my blessings. I don't want to take my blessings away from you. Blessings and curses are a time to reflect. Really, as we think about just the blessings, and hopefully as you do a reboot or isolation, you're like, wow, I'm amazed how much gas my wife and I have saved in this isolation. You know, we were just commenting. It's like, it's been over a month since we've had to put gas in the car. You know, it's because we're staying home, like I know a lot of you are, but just not going places. And when we go grocery shopping, it's few and far between. We're like, okay, we're going to make sure we have enough to make our meals for the next week or whatever, and making different choices. But it's a time to evaluate. Blessings and curses are both times to reflect, say, on God's goodness. Say, God, thank you for your goodness. And when things are hard or difficult or we suffer the consequences of choices, God, would you show me? I just want to highlight Jeremiah 17, verses 5, 7, and 8. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. Verse 7, but blessed. But what? But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in the year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Well, it's a time to reflect. Say, where is my hope? You know, is it in my ability to navigate this and figure this out on my own? Or am I looking to God and saying, God, I'm going to trust you. I love that. Not just trust in the Lord, but it's confident trust. And you know that without a doubt, they're going to show up. I don't know about you, but I set up meetings sometimes, and I'll show up at a restaurant, or maybe it's a phone call meeting, and it gets to be, you know, a minute late, no big deal. When it gets to be 5 minutes late, I start thinking, did they forget we were meeting? And I'll go back and check my text. Is this the right day? Because that can happen, right? Is this the right day? Is this the right time? Because I'm thinking, oh man, did I mess up? Did they respond back saying, yeah, I'll see you there? And so I'll check that first. But after about 10 minutes, or even 5 minutes sometimes, I'm texting, say, hey, just letting you know I'm here. Why? Because I'm thinking they might have forgotten that they're not showing up. But with God, as you trust in him, you're not just trusting, you're confident that he's going to take care of you. Confident. You know, sometimes we do a backup plan, right? There's the A plan and the B plan. If you don't come through, if this doesn't happen, then I'm going to do this. With God, you can be confident. You don't have to have a B plan. You can be confident he is the A plan and he will come through. And the contrast is depending in men, in mere men, in our ability to think ourselves out of our problems, to solve our own problems. That's where the curses come. Because why? We don't necessarily worship idols made of wood or metal. But then again, we do. The things that we'll sacrifice to buy a house. We'll sacrifice our integrity. We will possibly cheat on our taxes. We will withhold generosity. Why? Because we are feeding that American dream to buy that car, the late model car, to upgrade, to do and things that we can't afford to do. Those are modern idols. That's the same thing that we are depending on mere humanness, our ability to think, their ability to acquire our own. And what does God say? He says, when you do that, when you look to those things instead of me, you will experience lost blessings. You will lose those things that I will give you, that I will take care of. It's profound. I just pray, just as you know, I have to admit, like I said, preaching about curses is no fun. So I'm like, Lord, help me think about this in a different way. And so it's like, curses aren't punishment. I mean, it's really complicated. You say, well, that is kind of punishment. But when you look at God's heart, it's love. His goal is a changed attitude, is recognition, saying, God, I can't make my own good stuff. I can't make this happen. I need to worship you. I need to trust you for who you are. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. But cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. Because those are inclusive. If you trust in man's ability to solve situations, that is turning away from God. We get to love God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But we say, God, would you give us wisdom and how to navigate this coronavirus? God, would you give scientists and the people, frontline workers, wisdom and how to confront and stay healthy and find a cure for this virus? Would you help us to be wise about what we do? God, we turn to you because we know any good thing that comes out of this is going to become because we trusted you, because we are confident that you would take care of us. Which are you trusting in? Which are you going to choose to do? Are you going to choose to trust in the Lord? Or are you going to choose to trust in yourself? Deuteronomy 8:5, know in your hearts that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord God disciplines you. I hate spankings. I don't think there's a kid around anybody that loves spankings. But I know that because God loves me, I still get spankings every once in a while. And I want to be a kid who submits to that discipline. Because like you, I want to experience wholeness and health and success and fruitfulness in my life. Lord, I just pray that as we learn to trust in you, Lord, as we put our confidence in you, that we know that the result will be things that come from you, things that come from your character, blessings. Lord, as we experience curses, Lord, we're going to experience difficulties, and some aren't going to be because of our choice. But we recognize that it's not just individual, but we bear the consequence of our neighbor's choice, of our city's choice, of our nation's choice, Lord, of the as we become a global world, Lord, as the choice of what the world makes. God, we would pray that we as people, we individually, we as a community, a family, we as a community, we as a nation would recognize and fully trust you, God. Fully put our confidence in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, bless you. And I say bless you, right? We get to be blessed as we trust God, as we put our confidence in him. Let's worship as we close. Mm-hmm.